Thank you, Juliet. Thank you all for the tremendous possibility to tell you about our work. I think most of you may know, but Finland is a small country in Northern Europe. We relate ourselves with the Nordic countries, have a long border with Russia, and are a member of the EU. We have 5.5 million inhabitants, so many things are rather simple and easy in a small country like ours. This is the definition that we use. It's very similar to the one that Julia was saying. We try to incorporate also the impacts on health systems in our work, which is a bit different from some other countries. And we put great focus on equity. Then I'd like to talk to you a little bit of history, because it's a long-term effort. In Finland, even in 1960, we started the first intersectoral groups, and for instance, the Ministry of Health was merged with the Ministry of Social Affairs, and there was a National Nutrition Committee established already in the 60s. In 72, the Economic Council of the Council of State, basically the government, issued a paper that said that health is constructed with all the different sectors, and therefore it was possible to put more emphasis in intersectoral health even then. In 72, the North Karelia project was started. There was big emphasis on comprehensive healthcare, and in 86 it became the pilot country for health for all strategy in the European region. At that point, it was the health sector more or less doing the analysis and telling other sectors what would be nice if they would do, and then we would collaborate with them. In 19th and the first millennium, we emphasized much more the intersectoral work, intersectoral structures, talking to other sectors. Also, it was a political change. There was much more emphasis in new public management. If I have time in the end, I tell you what that means. But we also set up lots of structures. There's a department for the promotion of health and welfare in the Ministry of Social Affairs and Health. It is one of the biggest departments. And there's a health promotion unit. There's more than 20 staff, and also in the other units, much of the responsibilities concern talking to other sectors and collaborating. This advisory board for public health, which is intersectoral, and when we joined the EU in 1995, we established a system of intersectoral policy making so as to have national stands, intersectorally agreed national stands for the EU policies in the different sectors. That's not the health effort, it's a complete kind of intersectoral effort. Everybody has that. And there are a bunch of different intersectoral committees that meet. The legal base has been established little by little. One of the things that we thought was great, but it actually has been demolished already, was the legal base for making an intersectoral report on welfare and health. And in the legislation, it said that it has to be prepared with the other ministries. So it's not something that the Ministry of Social Affairs and Health would give. At the local base, the legislation is still there, and the municipalities have to look at the determinants in their community, in different population groups. They have to report and they have to set targets and tell how they are going to tackle the problem. When then we came to this decade and we started thinking, you know, how could we do this better? What should we actually, we're thinking, how does our system actually work? How does the government actually work? Do we really know how it works? And how can we identify better our key entry points and our priorities so that we can effectively work and not overload everybody? Because everybody has a lot to do. And is there something in the processes that we can refine? Sorry for the unaesthetical slide, but this is a very, very simplified picture of how the government works. And it took us quite a long time to figure out, actually, what are the key elements. Those ones in the blue are things that the civil servants do. And those ones with a bit of red thing, they are more political things. And civil servants can't really enter on those boxes. So we And in Finland, the government works so that when it takes office, it tells more or less what it's planning to do over the next 4 years. Of course, then things evolve, and it's not the only things that the government do, but this is an example of the kind of strategy building that we did. And we realized that once the government gives, actually after the government takes office, that's when we have to put the effort really to look at, you know, what are the government priorities? Where are the things that we have to prioritize? We put a real effort in for the government to get their priorities achieved. But also we have to look at what are the other sectoral plans. Are there something that are alarming to us? We have to jump in, or are there great opportunities? So which are the bits where we really want to concentrate our intersectoral work on? And then we realized that actually the impact assessment, there is an integrated impact assessment procedure, but in fact they are not looking at health impact. So we set up outsourced work to improve the impact assessment so that it could be easier for the other sectors also to work. And it's cutting a long story short, because there are different things, you know, what you do first to improve the initiatives, and then to actually say that if that's what you're going to pass, this is what's going to happen. So that's something that we needed to improve on. And then also to really see that when the government time is about to finish, that's when the civil servants in the ministries prepare background documents, ask, you know, for the next government negotiations. And that's actually the main point when we have to articulate our health problems that need to be addressed in an intersectoral way, so that we get them into the government program. So it's kind of a different time frame for different things, in a simplified picture. Of course, then it's not exactly, I mean, things, especially for the EU work, it's a completely different story. I took it out because of the 10 minutes. So I'd like to tell you how we did this. To just draw the framework that I just showed you, it took quite some time. We discussed the priorities with the different ministries, the members of the Public Health Advisory Board, and I sat with them and said, you know, what would be the best thing to do, and so kind of developed that together. Then in the Council of State, there was a project about improving intersectorality. So we tapped into that and worked very closely with the Council of State, basically with the Prime Minister's office, and we were able to have one full day of their meeting where all the permanent secretaries, that number ones of each ministry, meet. And they brought all their strategic people with them, and we discussed the whole day how to implement health in our policies. For them, I guess it was a little bit like an example of different things, but we got our voice heard, and Prime Minister was there, and also the Minister of Health was there, and we discussed it. And one of the things that we implemented then is annual two-day seminars that we actually fund, or when I was still working at the ministry, we funded from the ministry, and to discuss that. We collected the materials from different ministries, and we took 2 days always to discuss those things, what people thought should be done. They're not all health only, but I mean from the health point of view, but the other ministries' priorities where we could contribute. And then, as I said, we had this procedure of we outsourced the improvement of the tools with the Ministry of Justice, who is in charge of the integrated impact assessment. And from there, I would like to conclude some of the crucial elements that I think. Something that we should not undermine is the public health knowledge of the people working in health. And the data the National Health Institutes or whoever can provide, and the evidence and evidence-based argumentation. If there is conflict of interest, the data is very helpful. And then also understanding the policy-making system. And therefore, it's much easier for you to get out of your own box. Have the procedures, the commitment, and when there's an opportunity, jump on it. And for jumping on opportunity, anticipation is really important, because when the process is already going, if you don't have the data, you don't have the evidence, you are a bit late. So, and when they come to the official discussions, that's often when it's too late. Then to the challenges. That was kind of a success story, but in reality, no, not really, because we also had a change of government, and we are in an economic recession. The government wants to slim the public sector and the welfare state. It puts priorities in economic crisis and in economic issues. So actually, for us now, it is the argumentation is to make the economic benefits visible, and also to push for taxes on harmful products, because that's when the government needs money, and they like to reduce. Want to reduce norms and standards, and there are really, I suspect there will be good fights on health protecting norms and standards to be seen. And when you open yourself to this intersectorality, there's always also the all in health policies aspect. So everybody wants to get their share now on health services because they think it's a good market potential for export. And from the public health perspective, it's not the best thing. Then I jump into the NGO roles, because now I have the NGO hat, actually. And it's quite, of course, something that I missed on the slide is the whole media lobbying that you can do all the time. But then also to realize that there are spaces where the civil servants can't go. Civil servants can't come up and say that the government policies suck. It's for the NGOs to do. It's for the NGOs to tell, you know, the weak signals, or also to oftentimes to pilot methods, to give their opinion in the parliament. The civil servant will be forced to go to the parliament and say that and back up the government, but the civil society can go and say that it's not what we want. So. For a country, small country like us, international context is extremely important. We use it all the time. Like, Finland was very active in having the Health for All strategy. And then we said, okay, the WHO has the Health for All strategy, so we have to implement it. So we use it both ways. And even the conference, WHO conference on health promotion with the theme of health and our policies gave us much food of thought to develop our own work. But also I feel, for you who are from the US, understanding the complex policymaking system. We are getting a feel of it in the EU, and also with the trade agreements. We do a lot of work with the global trade agreements. It's very complicated if you have to do it with everything. That's the conclusion. It's a long-term effort, and don't forget, it's not only policies, it's also politics. You have to just survive the difficult times. Try to perceive what you can do, go forward where you can. Sometimes you can't. I mean, the different governments have different possibilities, and you do what you can. But I'd like to emphasize the public health champions, the importance that you have good leaders who, and that's where I wanted just to say a thing about new public management that emphasizes management. It's not good for public health. I mean, you need good leaders, but you also need leaders who understand what you are doing. And there also, I think there's, if you have time for discussion, because on the other hand, you would like health and our policies to be in the Prime Minister's office. But when the government changes, you're in problems. So to have a balance of having something in the Prime Minister's office, but also having it within the health sector. And then the research and NGO community, I didn't have time to talk about the research community, but they are crucial. My time is out, so is my presentation. Thanks.